Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, strong October EV sales data is coming in. Oslo goes all EV for taxis and battery cell prices reach historic lows. Plus stay tuned because later in the show, I'll tell you why Tesla's Cybertruck conundrum could be a win for consumers. Well, good morning, good afternoon or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Tuesday, 5th of November. I'm Martin Lee and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Welcome along to a new podcast executive producer. Doug Wright. Doug, thank you so much, my friend, for signing up over the last couple of days. You get your name in the Hall of Fame. You join the list of legends, my friend. You can check out your name at evnewsdaily.com. I publish the list of patrons for premium partners, and executive producers every day on the blog at evnewsdaily.com. Plus, of course, Patreon supporters get the shows ad-free. You get them first as well. You can be just like Doug by clicking on a link in the show notes. All right, we'll kick off. As the US heads to the polls today, South Korean battery companies are bracing for potential changes in the industry, especially if the Republican Party looks to rip out the financing, which, ironically, has an outsized benefit on the red states. Key players like LG, Samsung and SK have significantly benefited from the Advanced Manufacturing Production Credit, the AMPC, established under the Biden administration's Inflation Reduction Act. A representative from a Korean battery firm mentioned that Trump has indicated plans to abolish the IRA, but making such changes would be highly complicated. Alterations to the IRA would require action from the Department of the Treasury, which would encounter legal hurdles, primarily from within the Republican Party itself. Additionally, some Republican senators support the IRA, recognizing its importance for domestic manufacturing, especially as Korean companies are establishing or planning new facilities in states which are led by Republicans. Another industry insider warned that if Trump returns to office, the benefits that from the IRA may diminish, which could slow the growth of EV adoption in the United States. But even if Trump gains control of both legislative chambers, many Republicans have already signaled their opposition to any kind of dismantling of the IRA, making such an effort highly improbable. As long as the IRA subsidies are in place, the US market for EVs and batteries is still expected to thrive. Investments in the US EV and battery sectors have already surpassed $300 billion, which highlights the long-term nature of these commitments. You can't just get rid of them overnight. Any slowdown in the transition to EVs, however, would threaten the US auto industry at a time when China is on a rip and investing highly in Mexico, when some parts of Europe are actually coming over the slight bump that we had earlier this year. And I'll get onto that next, because our next story is some data that came out at 9 o'clock this morning or so. It's only early hours when it dropped into my inbox, as it normally does around this time of the month. So this morning, we got data from the UK market for car sales. Now, the UK market is declining in terms of the car market, but you know the punchline to this story, the EV market is growing. Fully electric vehicles, BEVs, remains strong in the UK, with October registrations now coming in at 27,946. That is 20.8% of the new car market. We'll call it 21%. That's an increase on September's 20.7%, but it's slightly down on the highest we've had, which is a 23% share. These numbers suggest that the car sector could be poised to meet the increasing sales targets for zero emissions vehicles, countering concerns about a decline in EV sales when this first came in at the beginning of the year. And even before then, many of the car makers were saying, we can't hit 22% EV sales in the UK. It simply can't be done. As the year's gone on, we've seen some of the car makers, particularly Ford, started off the year very, very low since launching the Explorer, since launching the Capri as well. And although some of the car makers will hit it and some won't, it's actually looking like the politicians getting involved and setting those targets, well, you know what, it might just be working. In October, the UK's new car market was actually down 6%, 144,000 new vehicles registered, to give you a bit of context on the size of our car market here. According to the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders, it's the second decline this year, as businesses, fleets and even private buyers registered about 10,000 fewer vehicles. The decline largely stemmed from substantial drops in petrol and diesel. Now, petrol was down in October 14% and diesel down 20.5%. Wow! Battery electric vehicles was the only segment to grow. Even plug-in hybrids was down in the UK. Battery electric vehicles were up in October 24.5%. UK consumers now have access to 125 different pure BEV models. That's up about 40% over the course of this year. Notably, about one in five BEV models is now priced lower than the average petrol or diesel vehicle, especially for those using salary sacrifice schemes or fleet buyers as well. And again, I'll come back to what the rule makers put in place, which is these targets of around 20-22% that the car makers have to hit of all the fleet cars they sell. As I said to you on yesterday's podcast, I think we are entering a new phase as the EU has some sales targets to hit, and the UK as well, quite a big car market here in Europe. And we're going to start to see more affordable models, because until now, part of the profit maximization strategy of all the car makers has been to sell big, heavy SUV type vehicles or just luxury EVs. There's more profit in those. But now it's about selling as many EVs as possible, and we're at a tipping point right now. And so we've entered a phase in 2024 where some of the car makers have had to take a hit on their profit to reduce the price of EVs to sell more, or you're going to end up spending a bunch of money on fines to the UK government, and then next year, on mainland Europe, within the European Union at least, a bunch on fines for missing the CO2 targets, or you'll be doing deals with the pure EV makers to buy credits from the likes of Polestar and Tesla. So this is looking like it's, well, maybe kind of signifying that this phase of the EV adoption curve, which I've been talking about since 2018, is going to be benefiting smaller, cheaper, lighter, more affordable electric vehicles. Fascinating. Just to wrap up on this story, although nearly 300,000 new pure BEVs have been registered so far in 2024, it's 18.1% of the market. That is down on the 22% which we need to hit. Volkswagen led the BEV market in October with a 9 share, selling 2,500 units. Mercedes-Benz and BMW followed suit with an 8 and a 7 share. Tesla's share in October fell to 3%, even though the Model Y ranks very highly on global car sales. This decline partly due to Tesla's kind of limited model. You can't get the S and the X here in right-hand drive, for instance. They don't make them anymore anywhere in the world. And so We had some re-stellar Model Y financing deals at the end of the quarter. And so I fully expect that now into November and heading into December, once again, the UK will see perhaps a return to those 1.99 or even 0.99% finance deals on the Model Y, which I gather from people in the know are actually very popular. And so those financing deals are working out quite well for Tesla. Now, we've gone from the UK to the Nordics, and let's go to Sweden next. A much smaller car market, of course, but in October, the numbers are coming in now, and this report from Kling Technica points out that EVs, or plug-in cars, were 62.2% of the automotive market in Sweden. That's up from 60% the same month last year. Despite the growth in the market share, battery electric vehicles, BEVs, were down slightly, plug-in hybrids making up the difference in Sweden. BEVs were 35.1% of new vehicle sales and plug-in hybrids 27%. So even though BEVs were still significantly more, they were down slightly by about 600 cars in October based on the same month last year, whereas plug-in hybrids were up. While some people advocate for purely BEVs, plug-in hybrids are doing pretty good business in China right now and in some parts of the world. And in Sweden, they seem to be liking them there as well, continuing to contribute to a reduction in CO2 emissions, of course, if you charge them overnight. That's the big thing. Several factors are impacting the BEV sale market in Sweden. High prices from the traditional car makers, lack of affordable BEV options from China at the moment in Sweden, and a bit of a sluggish consumer economy. Year-to-date, BEV sales have fallen in China. They're about 90,000 this time last year, about 75,000 at the moment. But hey, nothing compared to the share of combustion. Diesel vehicles are at 5.7% share in Sweden. Petrol about 25% share. But really, no one's buying a diesel vehicle anymore in Sweden. So that's having a look at the data from the countries coming in. What about the different car makers? Well, Ford, October data is in, and Ford saw an 8.3% drop in EV sales in the United States last month in October, largely due to decreased demand for its F-150 Lightning. The company sold 6,264 EVs last month in October, with the Mustang Mach-E accounting for over half of those, actually up 21% compared to the same month last year. F-150 Lightning sales, though, fell to just 1,863 units last month. The E-Transit electric van was up significantly, actually, 181% increase on the same month last year. Over 1,000 of those sold in the US. The trend is further highlighted by Ford's recent decision to halt production of the F-150 Lightning for 6 weeks from November the 18th through to January 6th at the Rouge electric vehicle plant. And in August, Ford cancelled plans for its three-row electric SUV, set for production in 2025. The release of the new electric version of the F-150 pickup has been pushed back to 2027, or whatever we call that vehicle, while production for a new electric commercial van will probably start in 2026. Ford's EV division, Model E, reported a loss of $1.2 billion in earnings during the third quarter. They put the loss down to cost improvements and not keeping pace with the industry-wide pricing pressures, they said. Yeah, it's interesting times for Ford because they're not going to be coming with too much. There's stuff happening in the background, moving battery production from Poland to Michigan, for instance, and all the right things being done in terms of the long term. But in terms of new vehicles or even vehicles that we can talk about, there's not going to be much on the horizon for Ford for a while. There will be in time, but it's a bit of a fallow period, not quite Jaguar Land Rover fallow period, but they've got nothing on sale at the minute. But still, an interesting one to watch. All right, we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about Volkswagen's bi-directional charging of their ID series. And where does the Tesla Cybertruck go from here? I think it's good news for consumers. I'll give you my thoughts in a moment. Stick around back in a sec.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even.
like your efforts are futile and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
All right, let's talk about Oslo. Finally enforcing a rule requiring that, as of last Friday, all taxis operating in the city of Oslo must be fully electric. This regulation was first revealed in September 2020 and included a 4-year adjustment period. The only exception applies to taxi rides that go beyond the city limits. The taxi industry, though, has fought this one and sought to postpone the electric taxi requirement until at least 2027. They cited inadequate charging infrastructure. Oh, Norway. You don't know what you've got. Charging infrastructure in Norway is pretty special. And last time I was in Norway, it was really impressive just how many EVs were flying around. But the city council rejected any requests to have further delays after a 4-year period to get used to the idea. The regulation says that taxis driving in Oslo may no longer have any emissions from combustion engines from the 1st of November 2024. So last Friday, it came in. Great news. Norway's experienced a notable increase in BEV usage within the taxi sector, with an 88% BEV adoption rate last year. That exceeds the national average of new car registrations that were BEV. For instance, last year in 2023, in Bergen and Stavanger, they reported all newly electric registered taxis were fully electric. Trondheim just behind at 97%. Oslo was at 90% already of all new taxis being electric. So again, it was some of the older vehicles which need to be taken off the road that were combustion. All right, let's talk about Volkswagen next. Enhancing their ID cars, that's the ID3, 4, 5, 7 and Buzz, through a new software update that will allow bidirectional charging for the models with the batteries of at least 77 kilowatt hours. This update will coincide with the launch of Sun 2 Wheels' new wall box. That's a 22 kilowatt wall box, and we're going to see more of it at Auto Zurich, the event in 2 days' time on November the 7th. Although the charging station won't arrive with customers until the middle of next year. You can pre-order it for 13,000 Swiss francs, about 13,000 euros. Now, Karen Schaefer is the head of sales at Sun 2 Wheel and said that the moment we've been waiting for is here. VW is the first major supplier of EVs to allow bidirectional charging, noting that the company is prepared to roll out the bidirectional charger for Volkswagen models across Switzerland. But no word on whether that will happen wider than an initial Swiss rollout. So good news for my Swiss listener that might have an ID car with a big battery. You can get a new wall box for your car and do your bi-directional thing with Volkswagens. This was meant to be rolled out in, I think, summer 2023. It was meant to go live, not just Switzerland, but everywhere. So I think in 2021, Volkswagen said that by summer 2023, they'd be doing deals with, I think, various companies in various territories. It wasn't just one global EV manufacturer, EV wallbox, EVSE manufacturer. They were going to pick different partners to work with in, you know, Europe or the UK and the US and what have you. And they said back in 2021 that for the ID cars, they would enable bidirectional charging. 2023 summer, it would go live. Well, here we are almost in 2025 and we're still talking about, hey, next summer, a trial in Switzerland could happen. So that one particular bit of Volkswagen has been very, very delayed. Let's talk about a big order for electric trucks. Climate United, a non-profit organization based in Maryland, plans to invest $250 million in buying 500 electric semi-trucks over the next 3 years. What's a non-profit doing buying electric trucks? It's the most significant single order of zero-emission Class 8 trucks in the US. Well, Climate United say they'll lease these electric trucks back to any trucking companies at very competitive rates that want to have a go at going all electric. Beth Baffin is the CEO of Climate United, highlighting that high upfront costs make it difficult for independent owner-operators and small fleets to go all electric, so they'll help out with that. Potential suppliers are the Volvo, VNR Electric, the Kenworths, and the BYD trucks as well. The funding for the initiative came from the larger pot of $6.97 billion from the National Clean Investment Fund, part of the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund under the Inflation Reduction Act, if that all makes sense. Now, some good news for Tesla Model Y buyers. Tesla has resumed deliveries of the long-range, all-wheel drive version of the Model Y in the US after a brief halt. I think it was only down to a few days in the end. This has happened many times in Tesla's past. They have to pause deliveries because they await official range ratings from the US Environmental Protection Agency. It looks like deliveries restarted if I have a look here at the various reports coming out of the US last Friday. The newly updated EPA certification shows that the 2025 model year, Model Y, all-wheel drive, long range, has an official driving range of 311 miles. That's exactly 500 kilometers on the nose. That's up from 308. So a slight increase, but again, just technically, I couldn't deliver the vehicle without its EPA certification. While deliveries of the all-wheel drive model were on hold, other ones continued to be delivered. So that would be like, you know, long-range rear-wheel drive performance models as well. They already had their EPA rating. So it was just this one model, and it's happened in the past. It's been like a week or two sometimes. I think this one was just a few days. So nothing to worry about there if you had your delivery, your collection event cancelled or pushed back or postponed. That can all go ahead right now. So let's move on and talk Cybertruck. Where does Tesla get the next wave of Cybertruck orders from? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Because Tesla's facing challenges in attracting new customers of the Cybertruck, as the reservation list has now dwindled. 2.5% of the 1 million reservation holders chose to buy the vehicle. We think that there's around 35,000 Cybertrucks on the road right now. This issue of no reservation list anymore persists despite the launch of the $79,990, let's call it an $80,000 non-foundation series Cybertruck. And again, Tesla continue to advertise the price just above $70,000 because they work out gas savings in there as well. But still no sign of the Inflation Reduction Act $7,500 federal tax credit money coming into this, which is odd. And, you know, I've had people give me their reasons why not. It's always all down to the battery and things like that. But the vehicle's made in the US, so it should get at least half, the $3,750. I don't know. I haven't got any insight into why there's no money off, no tax credit with the Cybertruck. I'm really surprised about that. But either way, market data indicates the company has 10 days worth of Cybertruck orders. Well, hang on. We were told there were 2 million people waiting in line. Well, it's hard to determine the exact number of orders in the queue, but the rapid delivery times indicate there being almost no backlog anymore. The situation contrasts sharply with the previous expectations that even if you pre-ordered a Cybertruck, you'd be waiting until at least 2027. Now we're a year into production, actually almost, if you look at the calendar, almost a year to the day since the Cybertruck was launched. Customers can now order and get a Cybertruck in, you know, a couple of weeks, really. Well, less than 2 weeks or 10 days. As wait times have shifted from months to days, the pressing question that everyone's asking is whether Tesla can attract buyers to the Cybertruck to keep the lines running. Unlike other Tesla models, which perform really well, the new Tesla Model 3 Highland, it has its ups and downs, of course, in various markets, but that's a fabulous vehicle that continues to sell well, but it isn't a patch on the Model Y, which continues to be the world's best. Well, last year was the world's best-selling car, and I think in 2024, it's on target to do once again. The Model Y is crushing it. The obvious lever to pull, I think, is going to be price cuts or introductions of more affordable models. It has to be, surely. Once they get to the point of having nobody that wants an $80,000 Cybertruck anymore, they have to introduce price cuts or financing options as the quarter nears its end, or they will announce they've finally done the paperwork for the federal tax credit, and that will take $7,500 off the vehicle, or they will launch a different model with a perhaps smaller battery or, I don't know, less range or something. But I think ultimately, the consumers are going to win. They have to win because Tesla have almost nobody left that wants to buy a Cybertruck. Everybody that wanted a Cybertruck has got one. And that's got to be a win for the consumers. Surely, that's my perspective anyway. They have to launch more affordable models, better financing offers, do something with the tax credit. If you see it differently to me, then let me know. I'd love to hear from you. But I think this has to be a win for consumers if they want to keep the lines running. We'll wait and see. All right, we'll take a quick break on the podcast, and when we come back, we've got some off-peak charging to talk about and battery cell prices. Stick around, back in a mo.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
We mentioned trucking a moment ago on the podcast. Well, Daimler Truck of North America has launched its first battery electric Freightliner eCascadia, aimed at lowering carbon emissions in logistics. The electric truck will operate at the Detroit Diesel Corporation facility in Redford, Michigan, transporting components between an offsite warehouse and the production site there. The eCascadia, part of Daimler Truck North America's shuttle program. It's a system that's managed by a company called Load One. They're a freight solutions provider that's collaborated with them since 2018. The launch is part of DTNA's broader initiative to integrate EVs into their logistics operations themselves. On earlier implementations in areas, they've done it in the Pacific Northwest, North Carolina, Arizona, and Mexico. And that is great news that they are rolling out those eCascadia, those Freightliners. Now, what about charging your EV at different times of the day? Would you be persuaded to go to a charging station at a different time of day if you have the flexibility? If you're on a road trip, you probably don't have that flexibility. But if you did, would you choose to go somewhere because it was cheaper? The Automobile Association here in the UK, the AA, has just published their monthly EV recharge report, which reviews changes in the public charging infrastructure. A notable trend is emerging amongst the rapid charging operators, the CPOs, charge point operators, that do DC fast charging, and that is adopting lower charging rates during off-peak hours. This approach is intended to increase the usage of charging services throughout the day and spread things out. The report indicates that EV users, especially those driving long distances at night, benefit from reduced rates. The average price of rapid charging here in the UK, and brace yourself if you are in the US and you are complaining about some of your pricing, that would be 75 pence per kilowatt hour. That's about a dollar per unit, a dollar per kilowatt hour. And that's not what you pay in the US at all. We pay a lot of tax on our electricity for DC fast charging. The government didn't touch that, sadly. But if you choose to charge off-peak, off-peak pricing strategies are being rolled out. Instavolt has lowered the rates from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., reducing the price to 54 pence per kilowatt hour from the regular rate of 85 pence per kilowatt hour. And others are doing the same as well. The report was released shortly before the Labour government's autumn budget, which included various initiatives related to EVs. And I made a full podcast on that over the weekend, by the way. You can check it out if you haven't yet. If it's sitting in your queue, I'm going through the daily news, let alone the bonus shows that he does, then particularly of interest, I'd say, to my UK listeners, but actually anyone around the world, you want to know how we're doing it here, have a listen to that. Well, in September, global battery cell prices hit new record lows, according to Benchmark Mineral Intelligence. This decrease is linked to falling new raw material costs, particularly for lithium and cobalt. Lithium iron phosphate cells have seen the most significant drop, averaging $59 per kilowatt hour LFP prices have plummeted by 20% since the start of the year. Evan Hartley is the research manager at Benchmark, mentioning that while minor price reductions may continue, LFP batteries are already being sold for $50 per kilowatt hour in some places like China, originally intended for the Chinese market. LFP packs have become a cost-effective option compared to nickel, cobalt, manganese, NCM batteries, resulting in increased market share. They were very, you know, very common in things like buses in China for a long time. I think it was really Tesla when they started using the LFP packs. More so than BYD, because that's going back, what, 3-4 years when we weren't talking about BYD as much, when they adopted them. And everybody said, well, what's this new technology that Tesla's discovered? Well, it's been around a long time and isn't particularly sexy. But since then, technology's really come on. The early Teslas that had LFP packs, they couldn't, the BMS calibration and the software wasn't quite up to snuff. And we saw some really poor, initially very poor, like, you know, 5-6 kilowatt charge speeds in cold temperatures overnight. I had lots of my listeners in Austria, Switzerland, particularly where the packs have been cold soaked for 2 or 3 days, going, my car won't charge. I just plugged in, it won't charge. And that was when those LFP packs first came out. Well, since then, Tesla and all the car makers that use them have really got a handle on how to use the technology. And it's so much cheaper in some cases. The global average price for NCM cells, according to Benchmark, is now $68 per kilowatt hour, an 11.3% drop so far in 2024. And that's much more in line with the prices that I see, particularly in China as well. You sometimes see these studies saying, oh, you know, the price per kilowatt hour has gone down to $150. You know, come on, 8-year-old data. But, you know, maybe they're averaging that. Maybe that's not, you know, pack level, not cell level. It's not always made clear. But either way, yeah, these Chinese car makers are talking about $50, $60 per kilowatt hour. And so on some battery technologies, so that's much more in line with what I'd expect to see. The overall reduction in battery material prices this year is put down to an oversupply and lower than expected electric vehicle sales from some of the car makers that had those contracts in place. All right, let's talk a little bit more about street charging. VoltPost has teamed up with AT&T to enhance EV charging in the US, including New York, Chicago, and Detroit. The initiative aims at retrofitting streetlights with level 2 chargers that use AT&T's Internet of Things network. The partnership aims to boost the effectiveness and reliability of charging stations with cloud-based management. VoltPost's co-founder and CEO, Jeffrey Prosserman, says they leverage their existing electrical startups setups to power streetlight chargers, and that eliminates trenching and underground stuff, and they can roll these things out much quicker. That's in London. There's streets on streets lamppost charging, enormously popular over here already, and so great to see that's happening in the US as well. Hey, finally, maybe this is just one to think about. What about General Motors coming back to Europe? They've talked about their strategy in the past and that they're going to be doing it. Not happening particularly quickly, if I may say, but General Motors is moving forward with their plans to come back to the European market, focusing on direct-to-consumer EV sales. The company already introduced the Cadillac Lyriq EV in parts of Europe last year and has opened Cadillac City experience centres in Paris, Zurich, Frankfurt and Hamburg. Under the leadership of GM Europe's new management, they're also preparing to launch the Cadillac Optiq EV next year. Now, in light of the car market over here in Europe, which has seen the decline for traditional vehicles and in some countries for EVs, particularly in Germany, along with rising competition from the Chinese makers, GM's looking to expand their presence in the region. Volkswagen is facing difficulties. I've told you about that many times on the podcast. GM's renewed focus on Europe is significant. They've sold their European operations back in 2017, wasn't it? After nearly a century in the market. Analysts suggesting that GM's strategy of only selling EVs in Europe probably reduces some of the risks of coming back over to the continent. And that could be beneficial. The Wedbush Securities analyst Dan Ive said that chaos creates opportunity, and that's how GM is approaching this. That while competition is tough, tariffs and political issues have potentially hindered the Chinese manufacturers, or at least the cars made in China. Because remember, other cars like, you know, Polestar, which you might think, well, that's Swedish, that's Volvo. Well, it's also Chinese because it's Geely. But either way, it doesn't matter who owns the company if it's made in China. Then they're going to be grappling with tariffs. And that could open the door to a company like GM. So I wonder if we'll see more of those Lyriqs optics, and maybe more coming over here. I'd love to see what the market is like, but there's obviously a lot of issues around that, so we'll wait and see. That's our podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Howdy of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Island YouTube channel. And Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.